Put the scripture up there, please. Let's read the scripture together tonight. Aim at the mark. You know, I was praying about what to say and what to do tonight. And Charlie, I thought about what you all were doing. And you don't hit the mark that you're looking for haphazardly. There's very few people hit the bullseye just by accident. It does happen. But people generally hit the mark, and they consistently hit the mark because they try. Let's read the scriptures together. But what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's the end of the scripture. Now, the Apostle Paul has been talking to the people at Philippi, and this was one of his favorite churches. This is a church he didn't have a lot of problems with. He didn't have to reprimand them for a lot of things, and he could talk to them out of love. And one of the things he had been telling them was what all he'd been through. I've been through so much. And he reached back to before he was saved, and he said, I could brag on this. You know, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was trained at the feet of Gamaliel, the great teacher. I had a lot of credentials. I was a Pharisee. I was all of these things. He had a great lot of things, whole list of them in the beginning of that scripture that he could talk about. But he said, I count them all of his accomplishments at the university, all of his accomplishments that he did, all the things he did. And it's pretty strong language. We probably wouldn't write this in our writings today, but it's in the Holy Scripture, so it must be all right. He said, I count them all as dung. Now, that's powerful talking, folks. And so he goes on to say, we need to be forgetting all those things that are behind and doing what? Aiming for the mark. Aiming for the mark. What is the mark? What is it that Paul is aiming to get to? What is it he's aiming and looking for? I'll tell you what it is. To know Jesus Christ. Now, it's okay to know about Jesus. This is not what he wants to know. He's probably picked everybody's brain that he can pick. He's talked to Peter and James and John. He's talked to all of them. And in talking to all of them, he's found out about Christ and what he was like on earth. But more than that, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost for 3 years that he spent out in Arabia and up in Tarsus, his home city. He spent years learning about Jesus. But here he is, way in the zenith of his ministry. I mean, you can't say that Paul doesn't have a successful ministry. I mean, he's preached in Asia, and he's preached in the Middle East. He's preached in Turkey. He's preached in Greece. He's preached in all these cities. He saw wonderful, man, if he... If he was living today and could put all that on television, while they'd have footnotes at the beginning of his program saying signs, wonders, miracles, all these things, it would all be true. It's not just something he made up. The dead were raised in his ministry. The blind were healed in his ministry. Demons were cast out in his ministry. There were wonderful things that went on in his ministry. He was a successful preacher. He was wonderfully successful. Nobody can take that away from him. More people had been saved in his ministry than in anybody's ministry on earth. He wrote more books of the Bible than anybody on earth has ever written. It's amazing. And it was just tremendous what all Paul had done. And yet he says, I don't have it made yet. Now, if the Apostle Paul, with a ministry like that, can say, I don't count myself to have apprehended yet. I don't count myself to have it made yet. Then I have to tell you, the rest of us better think twice about our Christian walk. You know, the Bible is very clear. I mean, when a man thinks he's something, then he is what? Nothing. That's what it says. Now, the Apostle Paul, in the midst of all he's saying, says, I haven't apprehended. I don't count myself to have apprehended. I'm striving forward, forgetting all the things that are behind. I'm not counting my university degree. I'm not counting that I was with Gamaliel. I'm not counting all this stuff I did. I'm nothing. I'm pressing forward. And I don't have it made yet. Now, I know there are people who like to explain that away, but actually that's what he says. And in the end, he said, I press to the mark of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. What's he want to know? He wants to know Christ. He don't just want to know about him. He just don't want to read about him. He wants to know him. He wants him to be his personal acquaintance. What's the mark? To know Christ. What's the second part of the mark? To know him in the power of his resurrection. Well, Paul hadn't obviously been to the resurrection yet, has he? He's in a jailhouse somewhere when he writes this letter. So he's not been to the resurrection. He's still in the flesh. He still gets cold and hot and hungry and thirsty. He still gets his feelings hurt. He still gets his body hurt. They beat him. They drag him around and treat him awful. He still goes through all of that. It's terrible what he has to go through with. So he's saying, I haven't got it made yet. I'm still here. I'm still doing this. I want to know him. And what is it? I want to know the power of his resurrection. Can you have the resurrection power now? Yes, you can. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible said, will also quicken your own mortal bodies. What does the word quicken mean? It means make alive. It's an old English word that means make alive. He's going to make your own mortal bodies alive. Well, the Holy Spirit that has come to live in our hearts, that's the power that brought Jesus out of the grave. Doesn't the Scripture say that he raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Ghost? Anytime God does something, it's the Spirit that goes and does it. When God spoke to the earth and said, bring forth dry land, and trees and bushes and plant life and animal life and bird life from the seas and fish life. You know what? The Spirit of God hovered. And it's the same word like a hen sits on a nest and hovers over a nest. The Holy Ghost hovered over the world and brought forth the life. When God says, you know, that Mary is going to have the Son of God, and he is the Son of God, I testify that. But which part of God is it that comes to the Virgin Mary and causes her to conceive and bear a son as a virgin? In fact, as she wanted to know, she said, how's this going to be since I've never been with a man? And he said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and the Spirit of God will overshadow you. And I don't know if she was even conscious when it happened. But it did happen, because when God gets ready to move, it's the Spirit that that does the work. Always it's the Spirit that does the work. And the Spirit animated the body of Jesus Christ and brought him out of the grave and made him alive. It's the Spirit that's in us right now. And let me tell you something. I'm going to sound like a Baptist now. I'm going to tell you something. When the Spirit is in you, that's eternal life. And the devil can't kill it. He can't take it away from you. He can't do anything about it. He might make your circumstances miserable. He might make the life around you miserable. And he will, every chance he gets. But I can tell you what he can't do. He can't take that eternal life from you. Fact is, the Scripture says, speaking of us Christians, we have what? Passed from death unto life. When the Holy Ghost comes in our heart to live, brothers and sisters, that's the same Spirit that brought Jesus out of the grave, and that's the same Spirit that's going to bring the resurrection on that wonderful and glorious day when Jesus comes back again. So we have eternal life living in us. Paul said, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. So all the Pentecostal people say, yay, glory, whoopee-hoo, glory, glory. I'm going to shout, I'm going to dance, I'm going to turn somersaults. I got to quit saying that because Jeannie and Fern went out the other day and wanted to know when I was going to start turning the somersaults. I got to be careful what I say. Anyway, we get excited, don't we? It don't take much to excite us. We love the Lord. We get excited about God. There's nothing wrong with that. That's wonderful. But let me tell you something. We get all excited. We want to know him. We want to know him in the power of his resurrection. But let's not forget to talk about the rest of the verse. What's the rest of the verse say? And the fellowship of his suffering. Whoa. We don't like that part. That's the only way you can really know him. When Christ came to this world, he was the creator of everything. He was the Messiah of Israel. He was the Savior of the world. And you know what the Scripture said? He came into his own, and his own received him not. Wow. They rejected him. They talked about him. They ridiculed him. They said he was a drunk. They said he was a glutton. He's all the time going somewhere to eat. You know, they made fun of him. They ridiculed him in every way. We just wilt. We got the wilts. Did you know that? Christians nowadays got the wilts. We just wilt down. Persecution comes. Somebody says something about you. Oh, they said something about me. Well, wait a little bit. They might even hit you. How many of us have testified and said, I have been hit for being a Christian? I can say that. I've been hit. I'm privileged to have been struck for the gospel of Christ. And let me tell you something. There's been plenty of people that's been struck for the gospel of Christ. We had one sister here, used to be married, and I told you about him taking her down here and setting her outside the church, making her listen to the service, wouldn't let her out because she's always drunk, and he beat on her. He broke her collarbone one time rather than let her go to church and beat her up and all kinds of things. People go through, you don't know what they go through. You see them in church, you say, wow. I mean, if you've seen that lady in church, she was always a tapping and a dancing and a running. But she went through torment otherwise. And when we say, know him in the fellowship of his suffering, man, I mean, you ought to just get that movie out every once in a while, The Passion, and watch it. You ought to read every once in a while about the cross and about him hanging on the cross and about him being beat up. And they beat him with a cat of nine tails and ripped his flesh from his back. They beat him with a stick. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They nailed him to a tree. They pulled his beard from his face. It was horrible what they did to Christ. It was a travesty of inhumanity what they did to Christ. And yet he says, I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. And you know what? I think Paul did. I think he achieved that. He said, I'm striving toward that mark. Listen, many times he was in prison. Many times he was run out of the town he was preaching in. Once he was thrown out for dead up at Lystra. Three times he was shipwrecked. Once he was a day and a night floating in the ocean looking for help. Paul knew what it was to suffer for the gospel's sake. We wilt under that nowadays. But my friend, I can tell you, when our people first came as Pentecostal people to this area, it wasn't funny. When the Lord started dealing with me, when I heard the Lord speak to me down there in the church and say, "You will," I said, "No, not me." You know why? Because our people were persecuted. We worshiped in ragtop tents and storefront churches and little old places back in the woods and places that other people didn't want to be. And we ministered to people that weren't the highest class of people on earth. We ministered to the people that were drunks and were dope fiends, we said back then, to people whose morals had been bad. We ministered to people who were so poor, they had nothing to give. They had no money to put into what we were doing. You say, "You're complaining about it." No, actually, I'm bragging about it, to tell you the truth. And from the beginning of our Pentecostal experience, folks, we always opened the door to women as well as men to minister in the Spirit and the gospel of Christ. We always opened the door from the beginning for black people and white people and yellow people and all kinds of people to worship together. I'm proud of that, and actually I'm bragging about it, to tell you the truth. Because from the beginning of the move of the Spirit in the 20th century, that was true. And I praise God for that. I praise God that we had to suffer. And we knew something. I mean, we've been attacked. I know one time down at Richlands, they come in on Sister Effie and them and ripped the planks off of the benches. And they made it like a spear and threw it at them. And it landed in a wall. It just stuck itself in a wall right beside her head. It was terrible what all went on in people's lives against the gospel. And I see our missionaries, the Baptist missionaries in South America being shot and killed. The headhunters killed several of them out in the jungles there in the Amazon. Folks, they knew what it was to know Him, to know the power of His resurrection, to know the fellowship of His suffering. But that's how you get to know somebody, isn't it? Is to share what's theirs. Yes, we share the glory of Christ, but we share the suffering that goes with it. And what does He say in the end? Forgetting what's in the past, let us go forward. Do what? Aiming for the mark. Aiming for the mark. What's the mark you're aiming for? What's the bullseye you're aiming for? I'll tell you what it is. To know Him. To know Him. And when you come to know Him, the fellowship of His suffering, the fellowship of His resurrection and the power of His resurrection, my friend, you come then with a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Sister Mildred Atwell and Granny Effie used to sing a little song together many years ago down at the Pentecostal Church at Naris, and down at Clark's store when they was preaching in the store. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. It's my desire to be like Him. So humble and holy, so meek and lowly. It's my desire to be like Him. That's our aim, folks. That's our aim. To know Christ in such a way that I'm like Him. Father, I thank You tonight for the service. Thank You for the opportunity we've had to be here, for the grace of God. Lord, I thank You for Your precious people who are here tonight. And I pray, Lord, that they'll be blessed. I pray Your Holy Spirit will touch each and every one of them and give them strength. And Lord, as we face the trials and tribulations of life, we face the disappointments and the downs as well as the ups of life. God, I pray You'll go with us. Help us to be shining lights. Help us to be witnesses of who we are and what we are. And Lord, let Your holy presence touch our lives, touch our souls. Father, lift us up. Help us to love one another greater than ever before. Help us to be forgiving and kind-hearted and tender with one another. Lord, we're a small congregation in a small place in the world. But Lord, I know we can be big on love and big on the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. Teach every heart here, God. Teach every heart in Bethel Chapel, Lord, to love. And Lord, when there come the sinner, let us love him more than any. Lord, whether he be dirty or immoral or unclean or drunk or whatever, let us love the sinner. Let us, O God, be able to go to the sinner and plead with his soul and give us a power of conviction to bring people to Christ. Precious Heavenly Father, I pray your Holy Spirit, your holy power and your holy grace will be with us to touch us, to sanctify us, and to use us to your glory. We ask it humbly in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're singing, Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Calling, Calling for You and for Me. Would you stand as we sing the closing hymn? And all of us will be glad to pray with you if you need prayer tonight.
See on the portal.
Man, I wanted to see them running to the altar, didn't I? Oh, I'm glad for these children that believe in prayer. And let me tell you, don't you ever turn the children down when they want to pray. You let them pray. Amen. And as you go through this week, folks, pray. Pray for me. Pray for the church. Invite somebody to come. The woods is full of sinners out there, folks, that need to be saved. The woods is full of people who are hurt and just sitting on the sidelines who are not getting the job done. I pray that you'll have a vision of knowing who to ask. Praise God. I'm sorry I sat down and preached tonight, but I just ask your prayers and strength. And God is a good God, strong and mighty and all of that. And I love Him. I have to tell you, I don't come to church just to put on about religion. If you come to see me at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's going to be the same thing. I'm going to be praising God. I go out in the morning, and I have to go out all hours, and I walk out, and I look at those stars, and I get the same feeling I did when I was a kid. I look up at it, and I say, praise God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the service. May the benediction of your Spirit, the power of your grace, and the love of the Almighty God go with us and keep us, sanctify us, and use us to your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.